This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's actually called What the Lockout. Still months now of What the Lockout because they won't even give us pucks. Skyping in with me, of course, we've got Coach Dan Hayden. Coach, what's going on, man?
Not too much over here. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. We missed last week due to the hurricane kind of knocking out the power here at Studio B for the At Brando Cash Network, but we're back again, and we actually have some stuff to talk about this week. It's, you know, we're still talking about money, and we're talking about new CBA issues and stuff like that, but as you and I are talking, the NHL and the Players Association are at least talking and have been for hours now, both yesterday and today. So, tell me, what do you think how these talks are going? The fact that they didn't go to the media after these meetings yesterday and they're again talking today, I mean, I don't want to feel optimistic because I've been optimistic this whole time, but I definitely think there's something good going on there. The fact they're at least talking and not just like walking out of the room.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to come out and say that I'm optimistic because then I might jinx it. You never know. You know, there's a little bit of superstitions going on here, but it certainly seems like things are getting a little better in regards to just them talking, which is kind of sad to say that before, you know, they go and they talk for an hour or two and then someone would storm out being like, well, this isn't going the way we want. We're not happy. So yesterday they met for 7.5 hours after meeting all day. I believe it was Saturday. Bill Daly and Steve Fair met all day Saturday, and then they met yesterday. I believe Donald Fair and Gary Bettman were there, and there was 13 players there yesterday, and there were supposed to be 8 there today, but I believe they left early because there were a lot of them wanted to get out of New York before the nor'easter hit. So they met for a long time yesterday. They're meeting actually as we speak now. They're meeting in New York, although they're not saying where. But I actually like that they're not talking to the media because I don't want, you know, every time they come out to the media, they say things that are negative. It's, oh, well, this is what we want, and this is what we think is fair for both sides, and this is what we're willing to give up. But they're not willing to talk, you know, agree. And you know, everything we hear through the media is it's negative. It's all negativity. I don't mind that we don't know anything. The next time they come out, it should just be, hey, we figured this thing out, and now we're going to have a season.
Yeah, you know, I do feel good just to the sheer fact that they're talking. I mean, after the last time when the Players Association came and they brought them 3 proposals and within 10 minutes the NHL said no, it very much felt like that 50-50 proposal the NHL put out there was a publicity stunt. It was to get some of the heat off of them and put them on the players. But now it seems like they are actually getting down to it. It seems like we talked about this, I think, on our last episode, that the Players Association, the thing that is really important to them is they're going to do 50-50, but they want their contracts honored, and they want to gradually go down from that 57% of revenue sharing down to 50. They don't want it to just split, you know, immediately. So it seems like the NHL and the Players Association are making some leeway in some things. Might not be in the revenue sharing, but at least making headway in some of the talks here, because hopefully it wasn't like, all right, we'll step down from 57 to 50 in 5 years. Maybe they're like negotiating actually, you know, like good businessmen should, and going, all right, how about 3 years? How about 2 years? How about 4 years? And bargaining like that. I mean, these guys, you know, they have to watch, you know, some of these Pawn Stars or whatever, where they try to bargain with these people trying to get some merchandise from
them. I don't
think
they do watch it because they don't – they're apparently not very good at this. But, I mean – it's nice to see that the NHL initially, you know, they had that deal come out before that everyone got excited about with the 50-50 split. And the players were like, well, we don't want it right away, like you were saying. So I think now, like you were saying, it's nice that they're talking about it and they're finding ways to get, you know, that they'll eventually get to 50-50. It's nice to see that that's sort of – that was a big sticking point that it seems like they're sort of going to find an agreement on at some point. But now I guess the biggest thing is the whole make-whole provision with the owners want less money given out to the players in regards to their contracts. They want contracts to be rolled back, and the players don't like that. So the idea initially that the owners proposed in that previous 50-50 deal was that the players would get all that money that was taken out of their contracts would be deferred to later on. But the trick was that that was going to be the money that was going to come back to them was from the player's share of the hockey-related revenue. So in a sense, the players were going to be paying themselves back for the money the owners owed them, which is why they didn't like that 50-50 deal to begin with. That's the thing that no one knew about right away. So everyone was all excited, and they was like, oh, this is actually kind of like – this is messed up. Like they're paying themselves when you said you would pay them to begin with. So now the owners have actually come out and said, okay, we'll pay you that deferred money that we had already agreed to. So I think that if the owners are willing to say, we're not going to mess with the contracts that we've already signed, that you've signed, we've signed, we agreed to this, all these deals, all – you know, I don't even remember how many millions of dollars that was spent on the last like 2 days up until the lockout, that now they've agreed to say, okay, we're going to honor these contracts in one way or another, that the players are going to get their money. It might not all be right away, but they're going to get that money at some point in time. So that's good. It certainly seems like they're starting – that they're willing to come to an agreement on some things. It's not just – it's my way or no way.
Yeah, this is something that I think as fans and even as just, you know, people that are involved in business and work for a living, this is the kind of stuff that should have been, you know, talked about in July. This is stuff that should have happened before the season started. I don't know why these guys were being so bullheaded for so long and just doing this now. Like, this is stuff that could have been talked about back in July or June to get this stuff moving early on and not already miss, you know, 50 some days into this lockout. It's terrible that it's gone this long. But as a fan, just saying this as a fan, I gotta say I am so bummed that the Winter Classic has been canceled for January 1st. Now, we have regular season games canceled through November 30th, but they said due to, you know, not having time to get everything ready, because it's like a week and a half worth of events going on at the Winter Classic, that they were going to have to cancel it for this year and move it to 2014, which sounds like a really far, far time away. But as a fan, I'm bummed that this game is gone, because it was a part of like the New Year's tradition for me. But you know what? I think it's business-wise, I think it's the best thing to do, because it seems like the players were kind of using that as leverage and saying, listen, we know you're not going to cancel the Winter Classic. We will play, but you're coming up to a timeline because you want to make so much money about it. And it seems like the owners were like, you think this is going to help you guys out? Boom, it's gone. We're not playing that way. And now it seems like they're talking. Both sides, maybe both sides are scared a little bit, and that's what's making this kind of move on. But as a fan, it bums me out that there's no Winter Classic this year.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sucked that the Winter Classic had to be canceled, but I can understand why the NHL had to do it. There's a lot of marketing that goes into it, a lot of media-related items. There's, you know, you have the – it's not just the NHL that's up there. You have the AHL to deal with. There's other leagues that come up there. I'm sure the college is going to want to use this in some way to market for their school. You got fans who have to book hotel rooms. You got players – you know, teams have to book hotel rooms. You got buses that are needed. It's not a big deal, but you know, you need there's just media needs hotel rooms. There's so many things that go into it that takes more than just a couple of weeks. So the fact that they had to cancel, yes, I think, you know, both sides were trying to use it to their advantage. Maybe the players were saying, we're not really going to cancel this. That's a lot of money you guys would be losing out on. And maybe the owners were saying, hey, you better agree and hurry up, otherwise you're going to lose the Winter Classic. You know, maybe both sides were trying to use that as a tactic. It didn't work. And now we've lost the Winter Classic for this year. And it's unfortunate that it came to that, but you know, I can understand why they had to cancel it when they did. Both sides have already screwed up, because they should be the meetings that they're doing now, they should have been doing last year. They should have been doing these things over the summer. That was never happening. Why does it always take both of these sides? And this isn't the first time this has happened, obviously. Why does it take these guys so long to decide, okay, now we're going to meet? You know, after we've had to cancel 300 something games, after we've had to cancel your biggest game with the exception of the playoffs. It's unfortunate it took this long that we have to lose the Winter Classic for a year, but hopefully, you know, like you were saying, maybe, I don't know if both sides are scared necessarily, but maybe, and this is stupid if it's this case, but maybe reality has set in that they need to stop screwing around and figure this thing out.
Absolutely. I think this is really like, all right, the Winter Classic is over. I always said since the beginning of the lockout that this was going to be a season starting at the Winter Classic, and it seems like that's not the case now, that they're trying to get it started as quickly as possible, but they're at least talking, and I agree with you. You know, they should have been talking in the summer. This should have been all taken care of before, because it seems like the NHL and Donald Fair and the players, they're fighting. Everyone's fighting for their fair share. The owners are fighting for a little bit more than their fair share, of course. But it's not about hey, let's get back on the ice. We've got fans that are important to us. It is literally, we're businessmen, we need to make money, and we need this to, we need as much money as possible, no matter who gets hurt here. And it looks, it makes the NHL look bad. I'm going to be completely honest, makes them look very bad. Look at the NFL, who had their own lockout before last season, and they got that stuff fixed before the season started. Yes, they had a shortened training camp, but that was pretty much it. And the fans were happy, the fans were excited, football was back, and did it affect the game? Sure. But they didn't lose any games. And no one lost money. Nobody who works at arenas or stadiums lost money. No TV rights were gone. No one had to air the Summer Olympics again because their sport was missing. The NHL, this is, no matter which way they want to spin it, no matter who they want to give the blame to, this is just a terrible, terrible PR move for these guys, because this is happening again and again and again, and they're becoming the league now that's a laughingstock of the whole country, and it's really sad.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. It's pathetic that it came to this again, and they're not understanding these things, why these aren't being done over the summer, even the last year. I mean, they knew, it wasn't like it was, oh God, is it already time for us to, you know, have a lockout? No way. Like, they knew this in advance. Why aren't you guys doing it ahead of time? The comparison with the NFL is kind of different, I would say, just because it's the NFL. There's so much more. I mean, we're talking about $3 and change billion with the hockey-related revenue. You got to multiply that by a lot,
yeah,
if we're going to talk about the NFL. So, I mean, I think the comparison is sort of different. I would almost compare it to the NBA, how they lost a ton of games because they don't make – I mean, even the NBA probably has more money coming in than the NHL does. It's just the reality of the way it is. But I think the comparison can kind of be there. And the NBA lost a lot of games last year, and they started on, what, Christmas or something?
Yeah, it was Christmas Day.
Yeah, but it was just – you know, I think the comparison would be between the two. Which is interesting because I believe Gary Bettman actually used to work in the NBA. I had this wrong, but
another place he doesn't fit in at.
Yeah, I know, right? But you know, we can talk about Bettman later and how the hell he still has a job. But it's just the sort of thing of like why it took this long for these things to happen. I don't understand it, and it's frustrating. But it seems like some progress is being made, and actually, and as I'm on here, I'm also on Twitter and sort of reading the news, especially since the meeting's going on right now, and we have learned. Larry Brooks, who writes for the New York Post, he actually just put something out talking about an amnesty deal or amnesty clause. I don't know what, you know, they might want to call it necessarily. Amnesty buyout, that's what they're using. That may go into the new deal that was potentially being discussed today. Now, that would mean that every team would have a one-time opportunity, and the NBA did this too, have a one-time opportunity to just completely get rid of a contract. Won't count against your cap. You just buy out the player, and then he goes away.
Hmm.
So it would be interesting to see, we can talk about this, and it would be interesting to see which Capitals player do you think you would amnesty. If you have one guy on the books, you can just be like, okay, you put the foot up and you boot him out the door. And you're like, thank you for coming. Here's the rest of your money. Get the hell out. You know, and it's not necessarily going to be a shot at the guy because you could – I've discussed these things on message boards before, and people have brought up Ovechkin. Do you amnesty him and then re-sign him at a lower contract if he'll re-sign with you? You know, it's something interesting to think about. Do you go and you amnesty – you know, you could do Ovechkin, or you could go with a guy like a well, – you just re-signed him, so probably not a Mike Green. But you could go with a guy like a Joel Ward or a Jeff Schultz, or you can go and amnesty someone that you're just trying to get rid of. You know, do you amnesty Brooks Like? Not that you're trying to get rid of him, but maybe you want his contract to come down. It's something interesting. But there's interesting little things that are going on right now with the negotiations, and it'll be fun to see sort of – where we're going to end up, but I don't think we're going to have a deal anytime this week. I'd be very surprised if they came out, you know, tomorrow or Friday and said, okay, we're ready. This is everybody start coming back. I think it's going to be sometime next week. And then we'll have as Aaron Portzline, who covers the Blue Jackets for the Columbus Dispatch, he brought up the fact that we're probably just going to have like a week of training camp and that would be it. And that there'll be no preseason games. And the deal that the owners put out, that 50-50 split, one from before, they still, when it was going to have an 82-game season, there were still no preseason games. So it'll be interesting to see sort of how this plays out. But yeah, I wouldn't expect anything for another week or so.
Hopefully it'll be sometime around this time next week where we can actually talk about it. But the fact that everyone's happy that they're at least talking, and talking at long lengths of time as well. It's not just going in, sitting down, and leaving. I think there's something happening right now, and I don't know what
baby steps.
Yeah, I don't know what it is right now. I don't know what's happening, but something is going on in New York right now with the NHL, and whether or not it's good or bad, there's at least something going on. There's some movement, no matter what, and they're actually sitting there and they're actually talking to each other, and that's a big step. So it's a start. You know, we talked about this before of proposals going out, but this is an actual real start because they're just talking, and that's all we can really hope for. But, hey, let's move off the lockout. You know, we don't have a lot of Caps news, of course, because they are locked out. But we do have some farm teams, and, you know, let's go hop up 83 and go up to Pennsylvania. And we got the Reading Royals and the Hershey Bears. So how are they both starting out this season so far?
Well, both started out pretty poorly. They're struggling out of the gate. I know Holtby struggled at first, but they've started to come on. And Hershey right now is sitting at 500. They're 4-4-1. They're fifth in their division, but they've only played 9 games, so it's really early. I mean, they win 2 games and they're in first in their division, so it doesn't really make a big difference right now. You know, it's pretty early. We'll see how that goes. It seems like they're doing a little better. And then Reading, on the other hand, struggling a little bit. They're last in their division. They're at 3-5, but we'll see. And the whole thing with the lockout, will certainly, if it ends in the next couple of weeks, maybe games start in December, we'll see how these teams will start to settle, and then we'll really see what we have here in Hershey and Reading, where the prospects will end up. Because, you know, right now in Reading, they have Philip Grabauer playing, but he's not going to be there if the lockout ends. He's going to get brought up to Hershey because Holtby's going to get brought up to Washington, and then, you know, the Caps will maybe be able to bring in another young goalie for Reading with Kostenko. So we'll see what happens.
Did you see Kostenko's Halloween costume on Twitter?
Oh, I don't know. Wait, what was it? You got to remind me.
He was he's a big Simpsons fan, apparently, because he came as Duffman.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. That's awesome, Janet. I have to look for that. That's awesome. That'd be so cool.
I got to say, I have no idea what the guy tweets because he tweets in Russian, but the pictures he posts are actually pretty funny. So give that prospect a follow. He's definitely a dude that loves hockey and he loves being a goalie. He even put out like a tribute video to the NHL goalies out there. So he's a pretty cool guy to follow on Twitter.
I mean, yeah, that was the kid that we saw at
developmental camp.
Yeah, he was pretty good, and he was fun to watch. It'll be interesting to see if he plays in Reading. That's the nice thing about the lockout ending, which is players can start settling where they're supposed to be, which is another interesting thing is that we were talking about before we went on air, how these guys are going to be playing. That was another thing that Aaron Portzline brought up, is how these guys will play when they come back. You know, let's say it comes back in December and they have that week of training camp, how good is the hockey really going to be?
Right.
And not even in Washington, in everywhere in those first, you know, couple of games. I mean, you have a lot of guys that are playing right now, they're going to be in game shape. You know, Ovechkin, Backstrom, once Ovechkin's not sick anymore, Backstrom, like Johansson, Orlov, and especially Holtby. These guys have been playing. They're in game shape. They're not going to have that rust that you have during the preseason.
They might have a little bit of rust coming like to an NHL level because the KHL, as we have seen, the KHL, even though it is hockey and kind of fun to watch, it's a slower game. It's not as hard hitting. So
that's very true.
They might still be in shape, but they might have to get used to being in that hard hitting NHL game that they were used to, you know, a couple months ago.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. That the hitting is certainly going to be different, and the talent level is definitely going to be elevated. But that just the fitness, almost to an extent. Like, it's one thing you can go and you can skate around, like some of the guys are doing at Kettler, and staying in sort of like good shape, but they're not in game shape,
right?
You know, so it's good that these guys are playing, and I think especially with Holtby, because you know that's the one guy, your goalie, you don't want rusty. You know, so I think it's really great that he's been playing, and it'll be fun to see him playing back in D.C. whenever this ends. But yeah, as the guy Porcelain was saying, we could see a couple ugly games with, you know, guys like Brouwer aren't necessarily playing, Ribeiro.
Yeah, all I've seen from Brouwer is that he played like a charity game in Chicago, and that's about it.
Yeah, apparently that was a pretty cool game to go to. I think in that game, they're doing shootouts, and actually the goalies were taking shootouts against one another. I saw a picture, and I was like, I wish I was there to see it. That would have been pretty funny.
Have you seen the video of a former Capital, Matt Bradley? He's playing over in Europe, and they put it on Russian Machine Never Breaks, but the video of him, man, Matt Bradley plays like Matt Bradley. He just, like, lays out this guy over in Europe. I mean, a huge hit from Matt Bradley, and man, it really made me miss him as a Capital, because he was one of my favorite guys before he was let go and went down to Florida.
Yeah, Bradley's one of those guys that you can still wear his jersey or his t-shirt to a Caps game and no one really gives you a hard time. You know, he's one of those guys that Caps fans really liked. You know, this year we might have that a little bit with an Alex Semin. You wear his jersey or his t-shirt, people might give you kind of the look, or they might give you a little bit of a hard time. But I was sad to see him go, but I can understand why they did it, because they kind of had a cheaper option in Matt Hendricks, who I also think is a great hockey player for what he can do for this team. So they're very similar, so to lose one for the other, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, sure. I still miss him, though. I like Hendrick, though, but, man, Bradley was one of my favorites. I loved seeing him just take people out. Like, you remember back in the day when Ovechkin tried to get into a fight with some guy, and Bradley jumps off the bench. He jumps off the bench and goes after him to protect Ovechkin. You gotta have a guy like Bradley on your team. Man, I really do wish he was still in a Caps jersey. I do gotta say that, but... You know, I would like to see anyone in a Caps jersey at this point in time, really.
It'd be nice to see these guys, and, you know, it's just, you know, I have hope. That's where we're at right now, that there's hope that something's going to happen soon so we can start seeing these guys in the right jerseys. Because seeing Backstrom in that Maple Leafs-looking colors is just, it's freaking weird.
Yeah, I do have to say, I do get some looks when I'm wearing my Dynamo jersey out, and people are looking at me, and they're like, is that a hockey jersey? I don't really know what that is, but I'm like...
Well, technically, it is, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's weird to see somebody, like the pictures of Brooks, like, with all the advertisements on his jersey. I mean, it looks like a freaking commercial. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Brooksies is pretty bad, but that's Europe for you, man. They've got all those ads. I mean, the face-off spots are all ads. It's sad, but... do we have anything else to discuss, really? I mean, we got some little Caps news. We've talked lockout. Is there anything else we missed?
I mean, that's pretty much the big things going on right now. Everyone's just sort of seeing what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't think there's really much else going on in the wide world of hockey. Everyone's just sort of kind of waiting to see what goes on. I know that Greg Wyshynski, who's the editor of Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports, he wrote a piece today, which was pretty interesting, that was talking about what the league would look like if it's they start in December, how we'd have like probably 68 to 71 games, which isn't great, but you know, that's still pretty good. That's what, 10, 11 less games, something like that?
Yeah.
That's still not bad considering how much time they've missed. You know, we should have had games starting a month and, well, not a half, but a little over a month ago. So, you know, it still would be nice to see. I remember maybe it was the last lockout they were talking about wanting to, or even maybe it was this one, before the lockout started, there was rumors going around that, you know, I think the league wanted to drop the games down to like 72. So maybe they're kind of getting what they want this year anyways.
Huh.
But this has all been just to get the games down. No, I mean, that doesn't make sense because they still want more money. But maybe it was the players. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Either way, that even at December 1st start, we still could see 71 games, which is still pretty good. But unfortunately, he's saying that the All-Star game would likely be canceled. So that would kind of suck for Columbus and the city because that's a lot of money that they would be losing out. But if we still had hockey, it's not the end of the world.
So that's pretty much it, I guess. You know, quick show, really. But hopefully next week, you know, there's some headway and we at least maybe have a new proposal on the table. Maybe we all have an idea of how many games will be played. Maybe we don't know. Everything's up in the air. But if you want to...
Well, I think when they are finished meeting tonight, if they... Because, like, last night they came out and they didn't say anything. That they're just like, we have no announcements for the media for anybody. We're just going to meet again tomorrow. And that was it. If they come out tonight and say the same thing, I think that sort of tells us where they are. That they're still meeting, that they still have work to do. But, you know, provided they come out and say they're going to meet again.
Right.
But that there's certainly, like, things have been done. If they come out and they're not meeting and they said that they've got some things done but they're not meeting, then I think they've hit a wall. You know? So it'll be interesting to see what they say. If they come out and say anything, they might come out and just say, hey, things went well today, we're gonna meet again tomorrow, and that's it. You know, I think right now I'm kind of waiting to see what they're gonna say about how the meetings went today, if they even tell us anything.
From what I'm reading right here on Twitter, this was posted about a half hour ago at the time of this recording, we've got Pierre LeBrun, I think his name is. I think that's how you say his last name.
Yeah, something like that.
He says, this is his tweet, hearing both sides in meetings spent first 3+ hours on revenue sharing among the teams. Picking up from last night, not yet on make whole deal. And the meeting is still going. So... They're talking about the revenue sharing, and instead of just going, this is what we want, they're breaking it down. So that's a start. I mean, that's all we can say, really, is that's a start. So if you want any more information about the lockout, you can of course follow me. I am always retweeting people that know more inside news than I do. But you can follow me at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter too. Where can people follow you for all the What the Puck news?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. And if you have any news about the show or anything like that, you can find us at facebook.com/WTPPodcast.
Very cool. And if you like What the Puck and you want more information about What the Puck and any of the other shows on the @BrandoCash Network, make sure you go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll find new news and you'll find when all kinds of shows are posted about football, hockey, movies, any kind of stuff we got going on, really. And if you're listening to this on something besides iTunes, make sure you go subscribe to What the Puck on iTunes. It downloads directly into your iTunes automatically right there, and it's real easy. So whenever there's a new episode posted, boom, it just shows up right in your iTunes. And write a review for the show. Tell people about it on social network. Tell everybody on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest. And I don't know if there's something new out that I don't know about. You know, tout it if you're on there or...
I don't even know what some of these words mean.
If you're on Just Saying with what's the guy's name?
You're on MySpace.
If you're on MySpace.
Friendster.
What's the guy's name?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
If Ricky Gervais's social network, Just Saying. Tell people that you're listening to What the Puck. That's what you got to do, all hockey fans out there. If there's any hockey social networks, you know, My Puck or whatever, you know, tell people on there about us, and that will really help us, you know, kind of launch into to a bigger crowd, and that will really help us out. So, hey, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully, lockout will be ending soon. We don't know. But, hey, Coach Dan, thanks for joining me tonight, and hopefully we'll be talking next week about something more than just whether or not the two sides are competing with each other. So, Coach Dan, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week.
This has been a production of